If you would, turn to Hebrews chapter 2. And I want to read verses 9 to 12. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Now I've entitled this message, But We See Jesus. See, it's a little Christmassy. We, those who believe in Christ, those who know Christ, have been given gifts. Now, the most precious gift we have been given is Him. Himself. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has been given to His people. Not just for His people. That's true also. The only reason He can be given and is given to His people is because He gave Himself for His people. But we also have been given His Word. The Word of the Word of God. The Gospel. The Gospel of God's dear Son. The Gospel of Christ. This chapter, chapter 2 of Hebrews, starts with the word therefore. I'm going to back up just a little bit. You're right, Walter. It's tough to preach from Hebrews without including some stuff. Because it goes line upon line, line upon line, line upon line. This chapter starts with the word therefore. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Talking about what we have heard. The Word of God. Now the reason that word therefore is there, and that's why it's there, so you have to look to see why it's therefore, is because of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2. Well, verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, what? Spoken to us by Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now, it goes on from there, but the rest of that is comparing Christ to the angels, and guess what? Christ is better than the angels. Then it comes to say, therefore, we ought to pay the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. And it's the things we have heard from Him which were confirmed to us by His apostles. That's what it goes on to say. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation which at first began to be spoken by the Lord? Now that is not ignoring the word of the prophets. But he's talking about where God has now in these last times spoken to us by his Son. He took away the first that he may establish the second. And those are the words of the Lord that he's speaking of here. And was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. We need to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard of the Son of God. They were first spoken by Christ Jesus, and they were confirmed to us by those that heard him. John chapter 17, the words of Christ himself. during what is called his high priestly prayer to the Father. He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, what? Which shall believe on me through their word. That's us. We believe because of the words of the apostles that are written down. And they have confirmed unto us the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? That they all may be one. Just as the Father and the Son are one, those that believe are one in the Son. That's a gift from God that cannot be equaled on this planet. And we need to hold these things, and that word, the more earnest he, superabundantly in your mind. We are to hold these things. Give the more earnest heed, lest at any time we let them slip. We're still fallible men. Hold them in your mind superabundantly. Now that's the introduction. Now we start. Verse 9. These first four words are four of the most glorious words I've read lately. But we see Jesus. Yeah. You know where that comes from? That comes from a miracle of grace in you. That's right up there with, you know, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Of God, who put you in Christ Jesus, what? But we see Jesus. If you are included in this statement, these are four extremely gracious words. Because at the time this was written, Jesus is not on the earth. It says that. Verse 3 of chapter 1, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, God manifests in the flesh, and upholding all things by what? The word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's where he is. But we see Jesus. We see Jesus. And here's the Christmas part of the message. We don't see him in a manger. We do not see Jesus in a manger. I know, we passed one on the way here. There's a nice nativity scene in front of somebody's house. And right next to it was Santa's sleigh with a reindeer. And you say, mixed metaphors? People don't know what they're doing. That's what it is. Because we see Jesus. He is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, we don't see him in a manger.
Right.
And I will go so far as to say this. I said it on the radio. We don't worship Jesus Christ in a manger.
No way.
Two reasons. Here's the Christmas message. Two reasons. We weren't there, and he's not there.
Right.
And it's just exactly the same as I don't worship Christ on a cross.
Right.
Because I wasn't there, and he's not there anymore either.
Right. Amen.
He is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. He is right here now in our midst.
Yes.
Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am.
Yeah.
I am is here.
Yeah.
The I am is here. That's the Christmas message. And if you don't get that part, you can have as many manger scenes and Christmas plays as you want. And I will watch the Charlie Brown Christmas. I can't help it. I like the Charlie Brown Christmas. I like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Because Bumbles bounce. But that's not where I worship. That's not what I am worshiping. Don't blame Jesus for the season.
Right. Nope.
Yeah. No, you want to, you can blame Mattel or Xbox or Samsung now. It doesn't matter. The worship of the Lord Jesus Christ is where he is now, not where he was. Now, where he was is very important. And we celebrate his birth, his incarnation, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. We celebrate it every Sunday. You'd remember it every day. But we celebrate it every Sunday. And this is the blessing that we have been given. If we know Christ, we see Jesus. And I'll tell you this, our seeing of Jesus is not natural. It's not. Proverbs 20 and verse 12 says this, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them." Now, does that mean physical or spiritual? Yes. Yes, it does. If you can see physically, if you can hear physically, that's a gift from God. But if you can see spiritually, if you hear and understand with your heart, that is a gift from God. The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God.
Amen. That's right.
And ain't nothing I can say make that not true. Nothing anyone else says can make that not true. Neither can he know them. And we're talking about ability. For they're spiritually discerned. But we see Jesus. It's not a natural act to believe Christ. It's not an act of a natural man to believe Christ. Now then, we have some examples. There was a man born blind, and Jesus gave him sight. Physical sight. Physical sight. Then later, this is in John chapter 9. I'm going to turn there for just a minute. John chapter 9. Let me get to the right book. And I believe verse 34 is what I got written down here. John chapter 9 and verse 34. This is after the man who had been blind from birth. He'd gone to the Pharisees and had a little difference of opinion with them. And this is the words of them to him. The Pharisees told him, "They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him, whom Jesus Christ had given sight, physical sight, they cast him out. Welcome to religion. This is what happens by religion and by religious people when you exalt Jesus in their sight too high. Well, what happens when you exalt Jesus? What happens when you say that he gives you sight, they'll cast you out, but he won't leave you there. Because if he gives you sight, he's going to give you someone to see.
Amen. That's right.
Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" See, this is where it is. This is where it is. Sight's nothing unless you believe on the Son of God. And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord? Who is he, Lord?" What did Paul the Apostle say when he got knocked off his donkey? He said, "Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me?" He said, "Who are you, Lord?" A Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. What chance did this blind guy have? Well, he had no chance at all, but he had the grace of God working for him.
Yeah.
Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. If God gives you sight, he's going to reveal himself to you.
Amen.
You're going to see him. But we see Jesus. It's not natural. And he said, Lord, I believe. And not only that, he worshipped him.
He worshipped him.
He worshipped him. But we see Jesus is to worship him. See, you can't preach God too high. You can't preach Jesus too high. There's no way to over-exalt the Lord of glory. It's not possible. But the problem in most places is they don't even try. They're too busy talking about man to worry about exalting Christ. And everybody knows Jesus. Come forward, pray the prayer, accept him as your personal Lord and Savior. Or accept him as your Savior and then make him your Lord later. No, no, no. You're going to start with him. Seeing him. Or you haven't started at all. And you're not going to see him until he opens your eyes. But when he opens your eyes, you will see him. See, it's not but that we see, but we see doctrine. I said it a while back. No, who you know will dictate what you know.
Right.
Yeah. It's not what you know dictating who you know.
Right.
I believe in sound doctrine. I try to preach sound doctrine. I love sound doctrine. The logic and the methodology of Hebrews just blows me away. I mean, you get this one right after the other, these wonderful statements. And you get to this, but we see Jesus. But doctrine didn't save me. Doctrine's not going to keep me. Doctrine's not going to give me eternal life. But if I see Jesus, I see Jesus. If you see Jesus, you have eternal life. That's the graciousness of God. Who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Three words. Who was made? See, this is one other part where I thought it might be a nice Christmas message. Because please understand what the Scripture is saying. And I want to state the negative part of this first. Before I get started, where it says three words, who was made, okay? God was not made. The Lord was not made. Yahweh was not made. Adonai was not made. Elohim was not made. But we see Jesus. Jesus was made.
Right.
Jesus was made. The Scriptures are clear. And this is supposed to be the reason for the season. It's not, but this is supposed to be it. Because I don't want you to blame Jesus for the circus we have around us.
Right.
That's man-made and completely corporation-driven. Because yes, a virgin did conceive.
Amen.
Yes. A child was born. But also, yes, a son was given.
Amen.
He didn't stay a child. He didn't stay a child. That son was given. That son was going to grow to a full age. Jesus was made. God was not made. God is eternal. And Jesus was made. Now, how can you say that? Don't you say Jesus is God? Yes, I do. And I wholeheartedly believe that. I am without hope if Jesus is not God.
Right.
But here you have the dichotomy. You have God, man, and you have the God-man.
Yeah.
He is both 100% God and 100% man. And sure, that adds up to 200%, but, you know, the math is God's, not mine. He's either God or he's not. And he's either man or he's not. And he's both. Jesus was made. And we see Jesus. Galatians 4 put it this way. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son.
Yeah.
His Son. What's it say next? Made of a woman. Jesus was made. And Jesus is His Son. Made of a woman, made under the law. To redeem them that were under the law. Why? Why? That we might receive the adoption of sons. And, I love this, because you are sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying what? Abba, Father. But we see Jesus. Now, what do you have to do with that? Absolutely nothing, other than you have received it, the Spirit of His Son. There's only one way to see Jesus, and that is to receive the adoption of sons. A child was born. His son was sent forth, made of a woman, made under the law. He is the God-man. Earl used to say, what, the Adam Kedmon, the God-man. Jesus was made. There's a statement in here, I think I quoted it a couple days ago or a couple weeks ago, where it says, when Jesus was 12 years old. I remember 30-some years ago, Henry Mahan pointing out that, Walter. And he's exactly right. It doesn't say when our Lord was 12 years old. Because our Lord was never 12 years old. But Jesus was.
Right.
And he confounded the doctors. And he told his mother, he said, "Don't wist ye not that I'd be about my Father's business." But he held his peace and he went on and he obeyed his parents.
Yeah.
Jesus was 12 years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he's not anymore.
No.
Jesus was a babe in a manger.
Sure.
But he's not anymore.
No.
Jesus was on the cross. But when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. People are looking for Jesus in the wrong places. Because they don't believe the book. They don't believe his word. They don't understand that his word has been confirmed to us by his apostles. And they will not have this man to what? Reign over them. And that's the reason for the season, if you want one.
Yeah. Amen.
Will you have this man reign over you? Because, hey, it says it in the beginning. When they're talking about, guess who's coming? The King is coming.
Yeah.
That babe in a manger was the King of Glory.
Yeah.
And guess what? He's no longer there, but he's still the King of Glory.
That's right.
But we see Jesus. And if you don't see him as King, you don't see him at all. Oh, I believe Jesus. I'll make him my Lord later. You ain't going to make him nothing. You can just take that and stick it somewhere else. Because you're full of it. That's all that is. You're full of yourself. Because if you see Jesus, you're going to what? Worship him. that blind man worshiped him.
Yeah.
When Isaiah saw him high and lifted up in the temple, and I believe that was Christ. He said, "Holy, holy, holy," the angels cried out. What happened? He said, Isaiah said, "Woe is me. I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips." Now this bunch around us would have you saying, "Whoopee! I see Jesus." No, you see Jesus, you're going to bow. You're going to bow. And if you do not bow in worship to the Son of God here, you're going to do it later. But it ain't the same thing. Because if you see Jesus, you will bow to the Lord. He came to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And in him, we see not only Jesus, we see the Father.
Yeah.
Why? Because ye are sons. Right now, if you believe Christ, you are the sons or daughters of God.
Amen.
You have been brought into the knowledge that you're in God's family. I didn't say you've been brought into the family because you're already there.
Yeah.
That's that whole before the foundation of the world stuff. You're a child of God before you become a son of God.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the spirit of adoption.
Right. That's right.
But the only ones who see are the ones who have been brought in and are in Christ now.
Yeah.
And if he has brought you in, you see Jesus. A child was born, a son was given, but you will not see Jesus until you receive the adoption. And you will see Jesus when you receive the adoption. He's not going to give you eyes and leave you out there looking. He may leave you looking for a while. He didn't go see this blind guy until the Pharisees threw him out. Now, you don't think Christ didn't know where he was? Come on now. Christ knew exactly where he was. He knew exactly what he was going through.
Yeah.
And he sent him there for that exact purpose.
Yeah.
And his apostles recorded it for us so that we know.
That's right.
This may not be a bang thing.
Sure.
Light comes, sight comes. Comes. But that don't mean you're going to see Jesus right away. But you will.
You will.
You will. He will reveal himself to you in the same manner he revealed himself to this blind man.
Amen.
Man who had been blind from birth. I love that thought. He was made. Let me stop this thing. So it doesn't beep, Walter. That was a good place to stop. This is the strange thing here. One of the strange things that caught me. He was made a little lower than the angels. Now, he just spent the first chapter saying how being made so much better than the angels. Verse 4. You can't preach Hebrews without backing up something. It just doesn't work. As he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than them. That's Hebrews 1 and verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels. And he says what? Who was made a little lower than the angels. Now the absolute creator of all things, who made angels? You understand? It says here, was made a little lower than the angels. But he's already said he's better than the angels. He didn't come for the angels. That's what we're talking about here. There are fallen angels. And they're going to stay fallen. Those who rebelled, Jesus Christ did not come for them, those angels. But here, where it says he was made a little lower than the angels, he tells us why. But for the suffering of death.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was made a little lower than the angels. Now, not in power.
No.
He walked on the water. He healed the sick. He opened blind eyes. He healed the lame. He raised the dead.
Right.
Physically.
Yeah.
Physically. He spoke, and it was done while he was here. He said to that storm, "Peace, be still." And guess what? It stopped.
Amen. That's right.
He quickened the spiritually dead, just like the Father quickens whom He will. I quicken whom I will. While he was on this earth, he was not made lower than the angels in power. He was not made lower than the angels in authority. And told him when they come to get him, he said, "Don't fight. Don't you know? I can call 12 legions of angels. And if he called them, they's coming. And when he came, they, if he called them, they would have come and it would have been over."
Right.
But he was made a little lower than the angels. What? For the suffering of death.
Amen.
When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down. He spoke and demons obeyed.
Yeah.
He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He was made of a woman, made under the law, what? For the suffering of death. To redeem them that are under the law. And the redemption price was the death of the Son of God.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
The penalty of sin is death. There is no other penalty. Now, there may be reaping somewhere what you sowed. That ain't the penalty of death.
No.
That ain't the penalty for sin. That's a consequence of what you've done. That's a whole other sermon. The penalty of sin is death.
Yeah.
And man could not pay the penalty.
No.
But the God-man could.
Amen.
And the God-man did.
Yeah.
See, the problem is, man, any man besides this man, this God-man, is not even an acceptable offering for his own sin. If you would offer yourself to God and kill yourself, it's not good enough.
That's right. Amen.
Because the first thing it'll teach you in that Old Testament about the Passover lamb is that A, it's without blemish, and B, it's without spot.
Right.
And it's got to stay that way for 14 days, and we can't make it 14 minutes.
Right. Amen. That's
right. We're not an acceptable sacrifice for anything. You couldn't sacrifice a man to save a hamster.
Nope.
It's the way it is. He came, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Because He is God manifest in the flesh. And His life was absolutely perfect in the will of the Father. From beginning to the end, at His hanging on the cross, when His Father forsook Him, He laid on Him our iniquities. He made Him to be sin for us. But He Himself was not a sinner.
Right.
See, there's a difference between sin being laid on you. There's a difference between being made sin and being a sinner.
Right.
We sin because we're sinners. We're not sinners because we sin.
Right.
See, people get the source wrong. Oh, I'm a sinner because I sin. No, you sin because you're a sinner. Just the same as me. I'm no better. But by God, the God-man was better. He was perfectly without spot and without blemish, and He offered Himself to God. He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. What? Crowned with glory and honor. I got to stop. My gosh. Oh, it started late, didn't we? That He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He tasted death. By the grace of God, for Jews and Gentiles.
Right.
Yeah.
Now this letter's to the Hebrews. This letter's to Jews. But he wasn't saying Christ only died for the Jews.
Right.
Now I know what people want to say. They want to say, oh, Christ tasted death for every man. They mean every single individual in the world that ever was and ever has been, and that's not true. But he did taste death for every man.
Right.
Of every kindred, of every tribe, of every tongue, of every nation under the heaven. And I just said Jew and Gentile because that's everybody. That's all kinds. Because you're either Jewish or you're not. That's what Gentile means, not Jewish. That was the great revelation to Nicodemus. In this manner, God so loved the world that he was going to give his only begotten son. And that's the world, Jew and Gentile.
Right.
Not everybody in it, Jew and Gentile. Bond and free, rich or poor, barbarian or Scythian. I don't even know what a Scythian is, but they get mentioned a lot. He tasted death by the grace of God. Isaiah put it this way, my righteous servant shall justify many. And you know what that means? My righteous servant justified. Because now we're looking back at it.
Right.
Many.
Yes.
Why? How is this possible? For he shall bear their iniquities. Not one more, not one less. That many he bore their iniquities. And that's what this is saying here. He tasted death for all kinds of men.
Yes.
For it became him for whom all things and by whom all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. By his stripes we are healed. And he that sanctifies, and they that are sanctified, are one.
Yeah.
How do you see Jesus? If you're one.
Yeah.
If you're in him, you'll see him. But we see Jesus. That's the question. Do we see Jesus? Do you see Jesus? Do I see Jesus? He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Call his name Jesus. That was the Advent message I did this morning on the radio. The angel came to Joseph and said, call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. And if he saved you from your sins, he's going to give you sight, and you're going to see him.
Yeah.
And you're going to believe him, and you're going to bow to him.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't give you that, you won't. I hope he has. I hope he will. It ain't over yet. Believe him. Call upon him. Bow to him. This is what we are to do.
Amen.
You can't know God without bowing to God.
Right.
And if you know God, you're going to bow to Him.
Right.
That's the way it works. Because He is the God, not only the God of all glory, He is the God of all grace.
Yes.
And He has given us His Son, whom we see. By His grace. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time, this place. Lord, most of all, thankful for You. You sent Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and You gave Him to us, and gave Him for us, and continue to give all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Thank you, Lord. In His name we pray. Amen.